Translation, there were also tiger nails set in gold, waist decorations of silk and lace, ornaments for the hands and legs, nicely printed silken saris, and a child's garment also made of silk. Many other riches, including gold and silver coins, were also presented to the child. Purport. From the gifts presented by Sita Thakurani, Advaitacharya's wife, it appears that Advaitacharya was at that time a very rich man. Although Brahmanas are not the rich men of society, Advaitacharya, being the leader of the Brahmanas in Shantipur, was considerably well-to-do. Therefore, he presented many ornaments to the baby, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Kamalakanta Vishwasa's asking for 300 rupees from the king of Jagannath Puri, Maharaj Prataparudra, on the plea that Advaitacharya was in debt for that amount indicates that such a rich man, who could present many valuable ornaments, saris, etc., thought it difficult to repay 300 rupees. Therefore, the value of a rupee at that time was many thousands of times greater than it is now. At the present, no one feels difficulty over a debt of 300 rupees, nor can an ordinary man accumulate such valuable ornaments to present to a friend's son. Probably the value of 300 rupees at that time was equal to the present value of 30,000 rupees. So in this purport, there is a reference back to an interesting pastime that was discussed in an earlier chapter, in the 12th chapter of this Adi Leela, which is kind of interesting because there was a personality called Kamalakanta Vishwasa, who was an associate of Advaitacharya and considered to be a great devotee, great soul. But he sent a note to Maharaj Prataparudra. And in the note, he established that Advaitacharya was an incarnation of God and at the same time said that he had a debt of 300 rupees that he wanted to absolve, or that he wanted absolved anyway. So somehow or other this note came into the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he saw the note, he said he became quite unhappy, but he didn't change his expression. It says that he was smiling, but he wasn't happy. So sometimes there are these contradictory emotions. So then he spoke. He said, he has established Advaitacharya as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is nothing wrong in this, for he is indeed the Lord himself. But he has made the incarnation of Godhead a poverty-stricken beggar. Therefore, I shall punish him for his correction. So he didn't appreciate that on the one hand you establish someone as an incarnation, on the other hand you present him as though he was a beggar. So this was, Lord Chaitanya was quite irritated by this. In the purport, Prabhupada explains that it's become very popular for the Mayavadi philosophers to say, they use this expression, Daridra Narayan. He says this is such a rubbish idea that God has somehow become a poor person, is in need. Because, of course, they're making everybody into God, so there's plenty of Daridra Narayans if that's the case. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not approve of this philosophy, obviously, that everyone was God. So he became a little irritated. So he ordered Govinda. Now Govinda, we're going to be talking about a little bit later. Govinda was his personal servant. He was also his godbrother. Govinda had been sent by Ishwarapuri to serve Lord Chaitanya. And although that was against the etiquette for a godbrother to be a servant of another godbrother, a personal servant, Still, it was the order of Ishwarapuri, so Lord Chaitanya accepted him as such. So he ordered Govinda, from today on, do not allow that Bhaulia, Kamalakanta Vishvasa, to come here. Now, Bhaulia here, Prabhupada translates as the Mayavadi. So he basically called him a Mayavadi, an impersonalist. Don't let him come in this area anymore. So when Kamalakanta Vishvasa heard about this punishment, that he could no longer get the association of Mahaprabhu, he was very unhappy. But when Advaitacharya heard about it, he became really enlivened. He was saying, oh, what wonderful fortune. You are greatly fortunate to have been punished by the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, you know, they in the old days in the movement, sometimes the prophet would really chastise somebody. And the devotee would be feeling very stricken. But then someone would say, you really got the mercy. And of course you'd think, that was mercy? You know, it felt like something else. Just a brief aside, a story. My godbrother Vishal, who you've probably heard about, or some of you have anyway, very eccentric devotee, but very sincere about book distribution. And he was accompanying Prabhupada on his travels once. And Prabhupada, Shamasundar was Prabhupada's servant at the time, and he somehow had misplaced Prabhupada's what they call yellow card, which is about, you know, what shots and vaccinations and so forth you've had. And he didn't have that yellow card with him. And so they were holding up the whole party. They wouldn't let them get through customs. And Prabhupada was sitting, Shamasundar was running around yelling at all the officials and not getting anywhere very fast. And Vishal went and sat down next to Prabhupada. And so then he turned to Prabhupada and said, and he sort of made fun of himself in telling the story. He said, Prabhupada, is there anything I can do? And Prabhupada looked at him, because Vishal is a very comical character, but sometimes he could be irritating also. Prabhupada turned to him and said, do? What can you do? You speak nonsense. So Vishal said it felt like 20,000 volts of electricity had gone through him. And he staggered out. And they finally somehow got through customs, but he didn't come around Prabhupada for about 3 days. And finally Prabhupada sent for him and said, where have you been? Prabhupada said, Vishal explained that he'd been afraid to come near Prabhupada, and Prabhupada just started laughing. So, anyway, Lord Chaitanya has given this punishment. Kamalakanta Vishvasa is very upset. And Advaitacharya is, you know, having a, you know, a jubilant experience. And he's thinking, what is he so jubilant about? But actually, Advaita says, formerly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always respected me as a senior, but I did not like such respect. Therefore, my mind being afflicted by unhappiness, I made a plan. Some of you may remember the plan. He started hanging out with different kinds of Mayavadis who expounded this philosophy, Yoga Vishishta philosophy, which is basically impersonalism. And when the Lord heard about it, he severely chastised him. He actually began to beat him. He floated down the Ganges with Nityananda, and then he began beating Advaitacharya, saying, you've said all this. Because first he asked Advaitacharya. He said, which is superior, devotional service or impersonal Brahman? I mean, which is better? And he said, well, of course, impersonal Brahman. And then Lord Chaitanya said, then why did you ask me to come here? And then he started beating him. And Advaitacharya's wife was crying, please don't beat him, he's an old man. Nityananda was laughing. Haridas Thorka was chanting quite nervously. It was a whole wild scene, you know. And then Advaitacharya said, so where is all your respect gone now? And he said, now give me your lotus feet. And he grabbed Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. Then everybody started crying. And it was quite a tumultuous scene. So this is the nature of loving exchange. It doesn't always go exactly the way we think it ought to. But this was a transcendental. So anyway, he says, when chastised by Lord Chaitanya, I was very happy to receive punishment. similar to that which was awarded to Mukunda. Now, if you remember, Mukunda also hung out with people that Lord Chaitanya didn't consider appropriate association. And so he refused to allow him into his company. And then a message came, well, when will I be allowed to have your association again? And I don't remember the exact, but it's something like after many millions of years. And when he heard that it was only a few million years, he began dancing in ecstasy. So when Lord Chaitanya heard this, then he immediately brought him back into his association and said that he was his eternal associate. And anyway, so then Dvaitacharya goes on. He says, a similar punishment was awarded to Mother Sachi Devi. Who could be more fortunate than she to receive such punishment? And then Dvaita then went to Lord Chaitanya and complained when he heard about how Kamala Kanta Vishvas had been treated. He thought, well, this isn't right. And he went and complained. He said, I cannot understand your transcendental pastimes. You've shown more favor to Kamala Kanta than you generally show to me. The favor you have shown Kamala Kanta is so great that even to me you have never shown such favor. What offense have I committed at your lotus feet so as not to be shown such favor? So here he was bitterly complaining that he wasn't being as chastised as Kamala Kanta Vishvasa. You know, this was unjust. So it's kind of a peculiar complaint. We have to agree. You know, can you imagine, I'm sure some of you, if you had been chastised severely by your spiritual master, and then someone is saying, you know, complaining that they didn't get chastised as much as you did, it would seem, it's like a strange situation. So Advaitacharya then said, why have you called back this man? Oh wait. So then when that happened, Lord Chaitanya began laughing. He was extremely amused, and immediately he called for Kamala Kanta Vishvasa to come back into his company. Then Advaitacharya was complaining about that. He said, why have you called back this man and allowed him to see you? He has cheated me in two ways now. You know, first you banish him, and then you bring him back. So much mercy. So it says, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, his mind was satisfied. Only they could understand each other's minds. If you remember, when it came time for Lord Chaitanya to disappear also, Advaitacharya sent some very cryptic message, which Lord Chaitanya understood and nobody else did, about that it was time to wind up his pastimes. So their exchanges are very sublime, not even so easy to understand. So Lord Chaitanya gave an instruction to Kamala Kanta. You are a Balya, one who does not know things as they are. Why do you act in this way? Why do you invade the privacy of Advaitacharya and damage his religious principles? Advaitacharya, my spiritual master, should never accept charity from rich men or kings, because if a spiritual master accepts money or grains from such materialists, his mind becomes polluted. So Prabhupada writes a very interesting purport on this, explaining that accepting charity from very wealthy people, materialistic people, you have to be a little careful about it, because it can be dangerous. By taking their money, you also take their association. So one has to be careful. And he goes on to say, when one's mind is polluted, it is very difficult to remember Krishna. And when remembrance of Krishna is hampered, one's life is unproductive. Thus, one becomes unpopular in the eyes of the people in general, for this damages his religiosity and fame. A Vaishnava, especially one who acts as a spiritual master, must not act in such a way. One should always be conscious of this fact. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this instruction to Kamala Kanta, all present considered it to be meant for everyone. Thus, Advaitacharya was greatly pleased. Only Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand the intentions of Advaitacharya, and Advaitacharya appreciated the grave instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this statement, there are many confidential considerations. I do not write of them all, fearing an unnecessary increase in the volume of the book. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami doesn't go very much further into this incident, but there are many implications that one should never, one implication that was stressed by Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is avoiding the association of Mayavadis, also avoiding the writings of Mayavadis. So that's an important thing. And not confusing or cheaply accepting someone as an incarnation, which is sometimes done. Someone performs a little mystic demonstration, everybody starts calling them an incarnation, an avatar, which of course is nonsense. Today is also the disappearance day of Bhugarbha Goswami and also Kashishwara Pandit. So, we often hear about certain personalities, but we don't necessarily know all that much about them. So I tried to do a little research. And since my memory is not like Radhanath Maharaj's memory, I have to write it down. That's part of becoming old also, and not very transcendental, so you have to write things down. So, but anyway, I wanted to read some of these things. It's interesting. Both of them were such great personalities and personal associates of the Lord. Bhugarbha Goswami was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. This Bhugarbha Goswami was very had a very intimate friendship with Lokanath Goswami. Now, some of you know Lokanath Goswami was that great soul who was sent to Vrindavan by Lord Chaitanya to excavate holy places. And he only had one disciple. Does anybody know who that one disciple was? Yes, Narottam Das Thakur, the great Acharya. That's the only disciple. And they were, Bhugarbha and Lokanath Goswami were the first and most senior devotees to settle in Vrindavan. They were the first to go there before the other Goswamis went. They went. Before the arrival of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, they tried to uncover the lost holy places of Radha Govinda. These are from different sources in the Veda base. I haven't always noted down the source, but they're there. So, unlike the aggressive approach of modern scientists to discover the unknown, Bhugarbha and Lokanath Goswamis found Sri Krishna's pastime forests by the humble method of surrender. They simply wandered around Vrindavan, calling out the names of the 12 forests, Bandiravan, Kamyavan, Mahavan, Talavan, and Srimati Vrindadevi, the maintainer of the forests, and an expansion of Krishna's pastime potency revealed the exact location of each and every forest. So they were actually directed inwardly by Vrindadevi. It is told that to avoid material distractions, Bhugarbha would perform his bhajan underground. So this is a little unusual. So he received the name Bhugarbha. Bhu means earth and garbha means cave or womb or hidden place. And he is Prema Manjari or Bhadra Rehika. In Radha Gopinath's Nitya Lila, his samadhi stands near Srila Rupa Goswami's in the Radha Damodar temple compound. So some of you have been there and seen his samadhi. There's another verse here. This is a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhugarbha Goswami, a disciple of Pandit Goswami. Pandit Goswami means Gadadhar Pandit. Was always engaged in topics regarding Lord Chaitanya, knowing nothing else. He was considered the 11th branch of Gadadhar Goswami, and the 12th was a devotee named Bhagavat Das. Both of them went to Vrindavan, and they resided there for the rest of their lives. So, Lokanath Goswami, as you know, constructed this temple of Gokulananda, and which is, of course, one of the seven important temples in Vrindavan. There's Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, Radha Raman, Shamsundar, Radha Damodar, and Gokulananda, which, of course, are the authorized temples of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Excuse me. Hate to do that. Now, Lokanath Goswami was a direct associate and pure devotee of Lord Chaitanya. From early childhood, he had no interest in any kind of family life. One day, while still an adolescent, Lokanath left his home and parents to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya saw Lokanath, the Lord embraced him with great affection. The Lord then ordered him to go to Vrindavan to uncover the lost sites of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Lokanath, along with his dearest friend, Bhugarbha Goswami, went to Vrindavan to carry out the order of Lord Chaitanya. He never returned to family life. Once, while staying in one of the forests of Vrindavan, Lokanath desired to worship a deity. Understanding the mind of his exalted devotee, Lord Krishna appeared and gave Lokanath the deity of himself. Lord Krishna named the deity Radha Vinod. Says Lord Krishna named the deity Radha Vinod. And Lokanath Goswami carried him at all times in a bag hung around his neck. This deity is still worshipped in Jayapur, Rajasthan. Lokanath Goswami had no desire for name and fame. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was going to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a major biography on Lord Chaitanya, he approached Lokanath Goswami for blessings. Lokanath gave him the blessings, but he wouldn't allow his name to be mentioned in the book. So he was quite a very humble person. And of course we know he initiated just the one disciple. A lot of people tried to get him to initiate them, but he refused. And Narottam had to go through quite a turmoil to get him to submit to that, to giving him initiation. Anyway, that's a long story. But he conquered. Narottam, he briefly says, Narottam conquered Lokanath with his humility and attitude of service. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyanam gyaninas tattva darshina. So this is the method. Radha Chalachikan are the deities of Bhugarbha Goswami, a close friend of Lokanath Goswami. They were contemporaries. That's an important thing also to remember. They were actually contemporaries of the six Goswamis. And they, along with those Goswamis, worked to uncover the pastime places of Radha and Krishna. So, there's another verse here. O Srinivas, see this place where Krishna with his friends played many games as they tended the cows. See, here is a most enchanting place called Sangamakunda. Sangama means union, where Krishna and the gopis happily met together. Being an especially secluded place, Lokanath occasionally stayed here in great happiness with Bhugarbha Goswami. So these two were friends throughout their lives, and remained always in Vrindavan, great personalities and great associates of Lord Chaitanya's, and Lord Chaitanya's disciples, the six Goswamis. So now we're going to talk a little bit about Kasishwara. Kasishwara, who is also, it's their disappearance days, both Kasishwara and Bhugarbha Goswami. And also a little bit about Govinda, because Kasishwara and Govinda worked in tandem as servants of Lord Chaitanya. So here in the translation, it says, Govinda Goswami, the priest engaged in the service of Lord Govinda in Vrindavan, was a disciple of Kasishwara Goswami. There was no servant more dear to the Govinda deity. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, Kasishwara Goswami is one of the contemporaries of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was with the Lord in Jagannath Puri. Also known as Kasishwara Pandit, he was a disciple of Ishwara Puri and son of Vasudeva Bhattacharya, who belonged to the dynasty of Kanjilala Kanu. His surname was Chowdhury. His nephew, his sister's son, who was named Rudra Pandit, was the original priest of Vallabhapura, which is situated about a mile. Anyway, these are technical details. But Kashishvara Goswami was a very strong man. Apparently, he was very powerfully built. And it says that when Lord Chaitanya visited the temple of Jagannath, he used to protect the Lord from the crowds. Another of his duties was to distribute prasadam to the devotees after kirtan. So it is said in the Gauragudanish Deepika that the servant of Krishna in Vrindavan named Bringara descended as Kashishvara Goswami during the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was also an eternal associate named Bringara. In our householder life, we also sometimes visited this temple of Vallabhapura and took prasadam there at noon. The deities of this temple, Sri Sri Radha Govinda and the Gauranga Vigraha, are extremely beautiful. Near Vallabhapura is a beautiful temple of Jagannath. We sometimes used to take prasadam in this Jagannath temple also. These two temples are situated within a 1 mile radius of the Sri Rampura railway station near Calcutta. So Brahmachari Kashishvara was a disciple, as we mentioned, of Ishwarapuri, and Govinda also was a disciple of Ishwarapuri. So Govinda was the personal servant of Lord Chaitanya. In the Gauragonadish Deepika, it is stated that the servants formerly named Bringara and Bhangura in Vrindavan became Kashishvara and Govinda. Govinda always engaged in the service of the Lord. It says even at great risk. We're not sure what that risk was, but means that he would do anything for Lord Chaitanya. In the list of prominent devotees at Nilachala, Kashishvara was the 18th and Govinda the 19th. They both came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri, being thus ordered by Ishwara Puri at the time of his passing away. It says both Kashishvara and Govinda were godbrothers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and thus the Lord duly honored them as soon as they arrived. But because Ishwara Puri had ordered them to give Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personal service, the Lord accepted their service. So you see, Lord Chaitanya was a stickler for etiquette. Sometimes we dismiss etiquette as something superficial or not very important. But Lord Chaitanya himself was very careful in following etiquette. He didn't actually want to engage them as his servants because they were his godbrothers. Too bad that people were not more aware of this etiquette some centuries ago. Anyway, the Lord accepted their service because it was the order of his spiritual master. So it says that Govinda cared for the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He took care of his bodily needs. Whereas Kashishvara went in front of the Lord when he went to see Jagannath in the temple. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the temple of Jagannath, Kashishvara being very strong, so you can imagine, it said he would clear the crowd aside with his hands. So, if you're from Indian birth, don't take offense, but sometimes crowds in India can be a little rough as far as pushing and shoving goes. But apparently Kashishvara was not at all bothered by it. He would just basically kind of just move people right out of the way with just a single sweep of his hands. He cleared the crowds aside with his hands so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could pass untouched. Because everybody was trying to grab Lord Chaitanya to either touch his feet or to just get closer to him. Sometimes Prabhupada had to have some strong people around him also. Because devotees would sometimes, you know, dive for his feet. And it was a little dangerous sometimes because it could have knocked him over or he could have tripped or fallen or anything. And so we had some tough people like Brahmananda and others who who could keep people back. So it was necessary. So Kashishvara, Govinda went first to join Lord Chaitanya, and then Kashishvara, who had been ordered to go to all the holy places first, he came later. So then there was one final thing mentioned. It says, one day, A Brahmin boy told Rupa Goswami that the yoga pit he was looking for was now called Goma Tila. Every day a cow poured milk into a hole on the top of this hill. Realizing that Goma Tila was a special place, Rupa asked the Brijvasis, the residents of Vrindavan, to dig up the ground. When they found the gorgeous black deity of Krishna, everyone spontaneously chanted, Govinda Dev Ki Jai, Govinda Dev Ki Jai. On hearing the news of Govindaji's appearance, Lord Chaitanya sent Kasishwara to Vrindavan from Puri, giving him a deity of Lord Krishna to take with him. Kasishwara Pandit installed the deity named Gaur Govinda, or Golden Govinda, next to Govindaji. Gaur Govinda is still worshipped in Jayapur in the Govindaji temple. So that's as much information about these great personalities. Today is their disappearance day. And actually it's described in other places in Chaitanya Charitamrita that if you just hear about such personalities, you become purified. So hopefully I've afforded some purification by reading these things.